Please turn to Psalm 124. And alternating on various evenings between the various stanzas of Psalm 119 and the Psalms of Ascent, we return to the Psalms of Ascent. These were psalms the children of Israel would sing on their way to the various festivals. They would sing these on the way. They're songs for the road. We come now to Psalm 124. A song of ascent of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our Father in heaven, as we walk with the pilgrims on the road to worship you, may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If, you know, the word if in the dictionary I looked in recently had seven different definitions. And then if is included in all kinds of phrases that we regularly use. If introduces a conditional clause. If then this. Or if this, then this. Etc. If, then. Well, in this psalm, the if is all about the Lord. Asking us who or where is your help. If it had not been the Lord. Verse 2, if it had not been the Lord. I think that phrase, if it had not been the Lord, we could think of it as the thesis of the psalm. And the rest of the verses as the argument. And then that final verse as the conclusion. Or using a different way of looking at it, we could think of if it had not been the Lord as the chorus. Then the rest of the psalm is the verses. And then we have that tag at the end. Verse 8. Imagine what would have happened if the Lord had left us. And then see what has happened because the Lord has been faithful. Well, the first part of the psalm, we have deliverance by the Lord. And we have grace. That is, we have favor. Favor is received by a way of a special deliverance. We had no hope but for the Lord. There is no doubt that this deliverance is from the one true God. We cannot ascribe this salvation to any other cause. And so we say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been the Lord, then we're told people rose up against us. They would have swallowed us alive in that anger. He turns then to the image of the flood, sweeping a torrent. Raging waters. This was something so drastic. It's obvious. Nothing less than the omnipotence, that is the one with all power, and the omniscience, the one with all knowledge. Only that one. Only he could have planned and executed and secured our rescue. Now, I'm going to come back and remind us of the various trials that Israel may have faced, but for us today, we particularly think about these images. I want to go ahead and move just right now from the start to the spiritual application of them. A good example in the New Testament of where we sense this type of danger, of enemy, of fight, is in Ephesians 6. It's in 10 through 20. I'm not going to read all of 10 through 20. Just let me remind you, friends, we today, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then we go on at that point with the armor of God. We have spiritual enemies, just like Israel had physical enemies. And in our day in particular, I think we can apply this deliverance as the church, God's people, the bride of Christ, the holy nation set apart. I'm going to give a couple of quotes tonight from Charles Spurgeon, because he wrote so much and meditated so much on this in his book about the Psalms. I'm going to quote him here. The fury of the enemies of the church is raised to the highest pitch. Nothing will content them but the total alienation of God's chosen. Anger is never more fiery than when the people of God are its objects. The furnace is heated 7 times hotter when God's elect are to be thrust into the blaze. It is only because the Lord lives that his people are alive. Can you testify to that? That it is only because the Lord lives that you're alive, that you're well, that you're serving him today. These are overwhelming images, overwhelming power up against us, up against our forefathers and foremothers. A flood, a torrent, raging waters. And so, though we don't face it, our brothers and sisters, I mean, we don't face it so much, very much, yet. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are persecuted, and a cruel contempt is mixed with the oppressive treatment they receive at the hands of those who hate the Lord, the one true God. It can be overpowering for the soul. But for each of us, whatever struggles we face, we would have perished if our preserver had not prevailed in our safekeeping. Let me say something that Martin Luther reminds us of to remember here. And he says this before we move to the next point, about verses 1 and 2, where he repeats that question, or that statement, if the Lord had not been on our side. If it had not been the Lord, here's what Martin Luther said. This repetition is not in vain. For while we are in danger, our fear is without measure. But when it passes, we imagine it to be less than it really was. And this is the delusion of Satan, to diminish and obscure the grace of God. So this repetition stirs up the people to more thankfulness. Remember, they're singing this as we go. This repetition stirs up the people to more thankfulness unto God for his gracious deliverance and amplifies the dangers through which they had passed. So we learn to think about the troubles and afflictions of the past, lest the sense of God's grace vanish out of our minds. I encourage you to remember, and you each have to think of your own, and you know it, where God has brought you through something in the past. That's what a number of psalms rehearse, the past deliverances, to help give us strength for today and even hope for the future. We've had a great deliverance by the Lord. It's by his special favor he's delivered us. Please don't forget it. Let's be grateful to him for it. And so the psalmist is grateful to him for it. In verses 6 and 7, we have a blessing upon the Lord, that is saying, Lord, bless you. I want to bless you through my words in my life, because you allowed us to escape. We were prey to their teeth, but we've escaped. In fact, we've escaped like a bird from its fowlers. The snare is broken. We've escaped. And so we gratefully worship our covenant God. Now, he's implying here that nothing can happen to us in this life that God doesn't permit. Now, I reminded you earlier, there were physical enemies that true physical enemies that now, as we look back, actually give us spiritual application. But they had physical enemies. The Egyptians were one of their earlier enemies. God delivered them from Egypt, and that became a paradigm of thinking about God's salvation, even our own spiritual salvation. They had the Philistines, which, for example, David fought against. Then eventually we have the Babylonians who take them into exile. So there are these points of physical captivity and deliverance. But again, for us, all of those point toward a great salvation from our sins. A great salvation from our sins. That's where it's pointing for us today. And so we bless God that He saved us from our sins. So let's apply these images of the bird and the snare as prey to their teeth to our being delivered from our sins. Like a bird, my soul has weakness. I tend toward folly. I'm easily ensnared by cunning and trickery. Are you? How does it usually happen? It can be evil companions. It could be the world, the pull of the world. We get entranced by it. It could be lust or fear. But when we're set free from our sins, we sing. Just like we just sang a trio, didn't we, of hymns that you chose, rehearsing our great salvation, previewing this message. And so we sing. We've escaped from our slavery to sin. We've escaped from guilt. That makes us sing, that we don't have guilt. Jesus took our guilt and gives us a clean conscience, peace of conscience. The degrading nature of sin, its awful habits, its dominion, we're freed from that. Sin no longer has dominion over us if we're in Christ. Satan has no power over us if we're in Christ. And so we say, bless you, O Lord, for taking us out of this snare. The snare could be false doctrine, pride, lust, selfishness, worldliness, unbelief, despair. But praise God for that amazing grace, that great salvation. You know, the world, you know, the world looks at us and really doesn't totally understand this. You know, the Christian isn't the person born lucky or with a naturally sunny disposition. The world doesn't always get that, though. They don't understand that truly, as we come to Christ out of slavery to sin and we're saved, that we actually understand. We understand their struggles. We understand the ugliness of sin because it was us. And so God wants us to sing. God wants us to imitate the psalmist here, singing as we go now. We're not the perfect folks who look down on others. We let the world know that we praise God because we were just like them, lost and without hope, but for God. We're not the pretenders trying to look good in a bad world. We bear witness to the God who is our only help. And we don't minister out of a sense of guilt or self-righteousness, kind of two sides. We minister out of gratitude for such a deliverance, because we've been tempted but not taken. We've been cast down but not destroyed. We've been perplexed but not in despair. Blessed be our God. We've had a great deliverance by the Lord, and so we bless the Lord. Then there's a final word: confidence in the Lord, declaration of hope in the Lord. A verse you should memorize and have it ready. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our Creator is also our preserver. He made all things, in Him all things hold together. And so as we worship the Creator, we also are reminded that He is our Redeemer. He is our helper. I mean, can He not help us in this world He created? Yes, He can. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. our help. Us as his people, he's ours. That's a plural possessive. He's ours. Our help is in his name. He's the eternal God, the maker of heaven and earth. He will protect us against all troubles and dangers, temptations, the raging furies of this whole world, and even hell itself cannot prevail against his church. And so, this psalm uses images from the external physical world to give us new insight into our salvation from sin and its punishment. Let me close by asking a few what-if questions. First, a statement. If Jesus had not died in our place, taking our punishment upon himself, we would still be under God's wrath. We would surely suffer for our sins forever. But instead, we can say there's no condemnation now for those in Christ Jesus. What if God did not intervene to keep us on the path of discipleship? You know, he once told Peter that Satan desired to sift him like wheat. Jesus said that to Peter. But then Jesus said, "But Peter, I've prayed for you." Jesus prays for us at the Father's right hand, and then the Holy Spirit dwelling in us prays on our behalf with groans too deep for words. And so God does intervene. What if God did not preserve our work for Christ? What if God did not preserve our work for Christ? Well, then it would be for nothing. But thanks be to God, Psalm 90:17, which we sang also today, thanks be to God, he establishes the work of our hands. What if God did not preserve us from death? Well, thankfully, we can say with the psalmist, with David, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? Well, the sting of death was sin, but sin no longer has a grip on me, and so I do not fear. We've been delivered by the Lord. We say, blessed be you, Lord. Our confidence is in the Lord. Nothing can separate us. Excuse me. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to the one true living God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, O Christ. O Father in heaven, O Holy Spirit, for this song of deliverance. It's your word, so Lord, we pray you would write it on our hearts, and then you would apply it in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. A good word now as we go. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen.